This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We are 19 days away from the next big WWE pay-per-view. So we won't really totally focus on that tonight, because next Wednesday night, pretty big show. The next big TNA show. Oh, TNA. Like there's such a thing. They do have a pay-per-view coming up, I think. Do they even still do pay-per-views? I'm talking, of course, about NXT, which blows TNA away. They have a big show coming up next Wednesday, so we'll talk about that tonight. Since I am coming up in my network adventure viewing of the Jobber episode of TNT, tonight we've got the old-school Jobbers here. We're going to have one joining us later on in the program. But ladies and gentlemen, from Comac, New York, weighing 257 pounds, Gino Colabello. Of course, it's, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. J. Arsenio Di Amato, who was at, you were at Extreme Rules.
Yes, sir. Before that, let me sing a little something for you. Go, Scotty. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip Yingling like it's your birthday. Because we don't give a F. It's your birthday. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you. Happy
29th. Happy 29th.
Yes. What am I, Gorgeous George? I'm one of the results.
Hey.
Thank you. Thank you, JAD. Of course, today is my birthday. It is June 1st. And I thank everyone on Facebook for all their birthday wishes. Much appreciated. And through text. But also today, and I can't remember the last time we actually recorded on this day in the 3 years since it launched, but of course it is the anniversary of PlaceToBeNation.com. It is 3 years old today. So we launched on midnight, June 1st, 2013. Now, there was a night that I was thoroughly trashed because that was my 40th birthday and I had a surprise party thrown for me, so that was kind of badass. We are now 3 years old at PlaceToBeNation.com, and of course we'll talk about PlaceToBeNation.com at the break. But it has been a great 3 years, and we thank you, the Place to Be Nation reader slash listener, for all the great content we've given you over the last 3 years, and we appreciate you enjoying it and coming back to it. A lot of our great write-ups, and it's amazing how some of the authors, JAD, have gone in and out since 2013. same thing for podcasts. When the site launched, we had one. And that was, of course, my PIC, Mr. Rosero, and I, the Place to Be podcast, was the only one. Then in early 2014, this split off. The first main event was in January because myself and Mr. Rosero split off from the Place to Be podcast, which, of course, continues strong to this day. And we had the Kevin Kelly Show debuted, as well as this show, the main event. I don't have the number in front of me. I believe this is the 54th episode, 54th or 55th. I have to look that up. I probably should have it in front of me. But we've had, obviously, since then, Mr. D'Amato, we have expanded so much at PlaceToBeNation.com. We've had polls. We got all these podcasts. We've hooked up with the PWO feed. And of course, we got a bunch of new feeds starting up soon as well. Brad talked about it on our Place to Be podcast episode a couple nights ago. And so in 3 years, it is amazing, isn't it?
An impressive empire taking over the pop culture world.
That's right. That's right. We're better than the show empire on Fox.
Yeah, and also better than some other imitation website that launched today that we won't talk about. They copied you guys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, them. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, ring these nuts.
Ring these nuts. You know why? You know what does it for this website? You know what does it? Fuck money. That's really what it'll Right, Mr. Milton?
There's plenty of that. Plenty of that to go
plenty
around.
Plenty of that going around, exactly. But anyway, not only is it my birthday and I appreciate everyone's wishes, but it is also the 3rd year anniversary of PlaceToBeNation.com. So why don't we talk some wrestling? It will not just be Mr. D'Amato and I. We will have another guest coming up later on in the program. As I mentioned, you were at the last pay-per-view, which was Extreme Rules, down at The Rock.
Yes,
Center in Newark. Had you ever been there for wrestling?
Yes, Hell in a Cell. Give me the year is a little fuzzy.
12?
2009.
2010?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me look that up.
Maybe even 8, 2008. It was Taker Punk.
2008, still No Mercy. 2009 was the first year that that Hell in a Cell started, so let's take a look.
Yeah, it was Taker Punk, and it was
Taker Punk. That would be 2008.
Yeah.
So let me see. Let's see. It was the first one, October 4th, 2009.
Yep.
Prudential Center, Newark. Yeah. It was DX versus the Legacy.
Right.
No tag, and then. Since then, the Hell in a Cell pay per view has been twice in Dallas, 2010 and 2014. It's been in New Orleans, Atlanta, Miami, and last year it was in L.A. at the Staples Center because, of course, SummerSlam was at the Staples Center. This year, Hell in a Cell will be – or wait a minute. Did I say – oh, Hell in a Cell, yeah. Of course, we were talking, of course, about Extreme Rules. Overall thoughts on the show from a live perspective?
Well, from a live perspective, obviously it's going to be biased. It's always going to be a higher grade when you're there live.
Right.
It was definitely above average for a B show, I thought. Two major disappointing matches. We'll get the bad stuff out of the way first. Obviously, the shit show Asylum cage match was a total disaster, and the crowd just crapped on it. I mean, to think that where Ambrose was two, three months ago, where he was like, you know, one of the top faces in the company. And if you heard the reaction during that match, he got crapped on, and the match got crapped on totally. So that was a rough one. And also the women's match, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Scott, you wanted to add something about the
Asylum
match?
Nope, continue.
Yeah.
Get to the Asylum match. Go ahead.
And also I just want to get the negativity out the way, because I like a positive tone. But the women's match also was I won't say close to a disaster, but it was very disappointing to see where the women's division was a few months ago, where everybody was raving about it. And these last two matches, Natalya got her big shot. I mean, she's a darling. She's a big favorite among the I see it like in the Nation chat room. She's a big favorite. But to me, very disappointing. And I think she got a lot of shine because she's on the Total Divas show. And where she's with a bunch of selfish twatsones that make her look good. They make her look good because she's the only one that acts like human. And
right.
So I guess everybody kind of likes her because of that. And she got a chance, but to me, she didn't really deliver. It was just a couple lackluster matches back to back with Charlotte. So it was a little disappointing there. But other than that, the rest of the card, that Fatal 4-Way, that's a match of the year candidate. Right there. I mean, words. I could go on for hours about how great that was.
Yes.
And just the booking, the building up to that match, and the payoff. Just everything was just perfect.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had four guys who were red hot, even including the Miz, who I think has been rejuvenated by his wife Maryse here. He retained the title in a match. 18-18. That match was that Asylum match. They gave them 26 minutes. And I feel like, and this is how I felt while we were watching it, and obviously you could, I would defer to you for how the crowd was. I felt like the minute the thumbtacks came out, suddenly everybody thought it was like a 5-star match when, you know, the first, let's see, it was a 26-minute match. So I would say the first 17 minutes, because I would say the last 9 minutes of the match had the thumbtacks.
Yeah, that was the only thing that saved it. The crowd perked up a little during that, but before that, it was a disaster. So the tax made it from a disaster to about 1.5 stars.
Are you cooked on Jericho?
Not really. I mean, he serves a purpose. He stays in the mid-card. Like, he'll be in the Money in the Bank match. Obviously, he's not going to win, but he still serves a purpose there. But with all these guys coming back, you know, his time is his days are numbered. But
exactly. Well, joining us at the moment has walked in our third jobber of the show from Brooklyn, New York, weighing 250 pounds, Steve Lombardi.
And I am so proud.
And I, of course, from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, Mr. AJ Petruzzi. Of course, joining us, my compadre on Sports Evolution and a multifaceted guest here on the Main Event, the doctor, Dr. G. George Robleno.
Hey, guys. G, what's up?
We saw that, D'Amato, it was a pleasure to see you. I wanted to say it while the doctor was here. Pleasure to see you on Saturday. At speaking of asylums, the Rotella household is an asylum in itself, led by the yard gnome himself. But he always throws a pretty good party, and you know, anytime we get to see Rotella and Armento in the same backyard, everything works out fine. So,
yes, we reunited the oddities.
Exactly.
You got to play the theme song going out.
Wait, you still have your Cartman there, right?
I do my Cartman. Yes, I do. Doctor, my Cartman is floating around here somewhere. Doctor, we're talking a little bit about Extreme Rules. I know you watched it at home. Did you watch the whole thing? Did you catch the whole show or?
No, not the whole show.
All right, we were talking about the Extreme Asylum match. The 26-minute dumpster shit between Ambrose and Jericho. Did you watch?
There was like no psychology there. It was weird. It was like the crowd was totally dead. I thought, at least from watching it on television. I don't know what it was
Especially,
was there.
Mr. D'Amato was there, and he said.
That's right.
And he said the energy was good, was the shits until the thumbtacks hit the ring.
Right. I mean, that got the rise out of everyone, but you know, for two guys that could really put on a show, it was really kind of a dud. And I was surprised.
Something's happened with, and you made a good point, D'Amato, about
Ambrose,
that, I mean, remember, this guy had back-to-back title shots in the month of February. He was in that, he was in that three-way. I shouldn't say back-to-back title shots. Well, if you count the Rumble, I mean, he was the last guy left eliminated by Triple H. And then he was in that number one contenders three-way at Fastlane, and then got the title shot at that, you know, that warm-up show Roadblock up in Toronto.
Right.
And then the minute it looked like that he was going to have the feud with Brock Lesnar, it all went into the shitzers, and I don't know why. And since then, he's been kind of a mess. What do you think of Jericho, Doctor? D'Amato's okay with him. I thought he looked really. I mean, I just watched Raw. I watched Raw yesterday, and I thought, hey, he's looking old. Actually, a couple of guys are looking old. I don't know. I know he's still serviceable, but I think he should be kind of like have that Brock Lesnar schedule where he shows up every 6 months and can throw himself in. I just can't see him as an everyday guy anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, listen, he could. I mean, he's probably still better than probably 40-50% of the roster, but I think his character is kind of lame now. You know, it's the same thing. He comes back sometimes he's a face, and then all of a sudden he turns on some. It's like they do the same thing with him. You know, let's have some consistency with him. Let's do something with him,
right?
Rather than, you know, the same kind of storyline. I mean, one thing you have to say, I mean, he has been there to put some people over, which has been good. I mean, do you think though he's really done anything for AJ Styles? I mean, AJ Styles obviously is going to be on top soon, depending on how they do this whole brand split. But
right, I mean, he fought Jericho what, four times, and.
Was it four? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they fought it. They fought twice on live TV.
Yeah, all right. You're
they
right.
They fought at Fastlane, and they fought at WrestleMania.
No, I knew the two pay-per-views. All right, you're right. Four times
they fought. They fought on Raw the night after the Rumble. They fought on SmackDown. The SmackDown after the Rumble, that week they fought twice. Then they fought at Fastlane, and then they fought at WrestleMania. And I think Jericho won, what, three of the four? They didn't split, right? Did they split, D'Amato?
No, Ambrose. Ambrose.
No, I'm talking about Styles and Jericho.
Oh, no, they split.
They split it, I think.
They split the live matches, and they split the pay-per-views. I think D'Amato, you won the Raw match. Gino Colabello could never have beaten AJ Styles. I think Styles won the Raw match. Jericho won the SmackDown match. Styles won Fastlane, and Jericho won WrestleMania, which I think it should have all been the other way around. But I think Jericho should have one of those kind of laid-back schedules. I just can't – I don't know if he has – if there's more for him to give.
I'm kind of bored of him. That's what it is. I don't think he can't put on a good show anymore. I'm just bored of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me personally.
Well, he really – I mean, he looked old. There was a promo. They were doing a backstage segment on Raw Monday, him, Owens, and Cesaro, and he just looked old. Like, his skin looked old. And another guy who came back Monday after injury, John Cena, even he looks old. Like, somebody said that to me, and I mentioned it to somebody at work today. I said, even Cena looks weathered. Like, today is the first time for a guy who's, what, 36? He looks older than 36. Like, this is the first time that the 14 years in the business has finally caught up to him, seems like. So, I don't know. I think Jericho needs to go away. And Ambrose, I don't know if a heel turn, if he sides with Rollins, or if Rollins ends up turning face. The Shield thing we could talk about another day, because we're not sure what the future of that holds. But looking at the rest of the card, the Club, which is, of course, Carl Anderson, I like Machine Gun, and Luke Gallows defeated the Usos. That match was about 8.5 minutes. Rusev is your new United States champion. He defeated Kalisto in 9.5 minutes. It's too late for him to make it the Russian heavyweight title now. That ship has passed. He should have done that last year. The New Day retain their tag team straps over the Vaudevillains. Bless you, Lord Alfred. The Miz won that awesome four-way to keep his Intercontinental title. That match was 18-18. As we mentioned, Ambrose won that Snorefest in 26-21. Charlotte retained the women's title by submission over Natalya in a match that... It wasn't Natalya's fault, was it, D'Amato? I mean, I don't think so.
I would say a little bit, but
yeah.
But also, yeah, because like I said, it was a lackluster match, and she didn't seem too into it.
Hmm.
But again, they don't do her any favors. I mean, they had like Flair distract her 19 times, and she does the same thing. She falls for it. This time it was Dana Brooke cake came out, and also it was kind of telegraphed where I was sitting. You saw the like 2 or 3 minutes before they were setting up somebody to come from the stage. So,
oh really? Oh wow!
Yeah, it was telegraphed for us. But then the same thing, you know, Dana Brooke comes out, and Natalya stops what she's doing. Of course, stops kicking the ass of her opponent in the ring, and you know, and goes and gets distracted easy. She's not looking too smart there. After about the 30th time, she keeps falling for it.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of that 80s booking, you know, like
yeah.
Some of the 80s booking's not bad, but that same old, you know, like distract the guy.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, the manager gets on the apron and
yeah, it was. I agree with you. That match again, that's another match that could have been a lot better.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, cause you got good two good workers, but they get so worked up into the, you know, getting you know, Flair involved or the outside interference instead of like putting the focus on the match, which is what I thought that, you know, everybody's into today. So,
right. No, I agree. And then of course, Roman Reigns retained his WWE World Heavyweight Championship, beating AJ Styles in 22-12 in a good match. And I got to say, AJ made Roman look pretty good. And look, I don't think anyone has ever actually said that Roman Reigns is a bad wrestler. He's not. It's just the personality and the position.
No, listen, if he could put the whole charisma thing or the personality together, but honestly, at this point, this fan base right now, they just totally despise him. I don't know if he's ever going to win over.
Right. No, it's going to be difficult. But we'll see how long he holds a belt. We'll get to the next pay-per-view in a minute. Well, the next regular pay-per-view.
I mean, let me tell you something. Whatever writer could figure that out on how to get him over with the fan base, they should be given a big, big contract. I'll tell you that.
Well, the writing in general is the shits at the moment. But the next big pay-per-view, well, the next big network special is next Wednesday night. NXT TakeOver The End. I wonder what that means. Because as we saw, D'Amato, they pulled the NXT Brooklyn show off Ticketmaster, but apparently it's coming back, and apparently it's due to rebranding. So we may get a fancy schmancy show that Saturday night at Barclays. Should be very interesting.
Yeah, I think they only did because tickets aren't on sale yet. I think it's still going to be an NXT takeover.
Okay.
I don't think there'll be major changes. But
well, the live SmackDown, we're going to get more into the TV stuff in the second.
I think the end refers to more that it might be like Baylor and Joe's last match.
Probably. It's next Wednesday, of course, at their usual Full Sail University. The main event, the rematch from the house show in Lowell back in April. Samoa Joe will defend the NXT Championship against Finn Balor in what many consider Finn Balor's last match because of the new faction that just started in WWE. Also, the tag team championship rematch from Dallas. Your champions, American Alpha, Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, who are damn awesome, against the former champions, The Revival, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, who are also incredibly awesome. The match in Dallas was, I mean, 4.5 stars. I mean, it was awesome. And I expect nothing less from them in the rematch next Wednesday. My girl Asuka will defend the women's championship against Nia Jax. She's that big girl. She kind of looks like she kind of looks Samoan. I don't think is she part of that family. I don't think she is, right?
No, definitely. Yeah, she's a cousin with the Rock, or
she's somebody's
Rock's cousin.
Her real name is Savelina Fanini. She's a plus-size model and professional wrestler. She was born in Honolulu. No, I don't think she is related. Says she was born in Honolulu, Hawaii. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Duh. She's a Samoan and German ancestry and is a member of the Inouye family. She's Rock's cousin. So God only knows who her parents are. Joseph and Renate Fenene. A fan of professional wrestling since her childhood, she decided to pursue a career in wrestling after watching The Rock perform at WrestleMania 28 in Miami. So, okay. Her aunt is, of course, Rock's mom. They were hit head-on in a Cadillac Escalade by a drunk driver as they were driving home from a charity event in Claremont, Florida. Wow, I didn't know that. Sorry, so she's Rock's cousin. Okay. She will, she's got a shot at Asuka and the NXT Women's Championship. And in a singles match that could very easily blow the roof off the place, Shinsuke Nakamura will take on Austin Aries, one of my favorite guys. He's like the only guy I actually really liked in NXT, or in TNA when I watched it for those 12 months. Do you believe, Dr. G, you and I sat in this living room and actually watched a TNA pay-per-view?
Wow.
I feel like I want to erase that from my life.
It's true. Yeah, well, you know. Hey, you know what? Everybody makes a mistake once in a while.
That's true. That's $30 I'll never get back. That was Bound for Glory 2013 when they did the wide shot of the San Diego Sports Arena and there was like 53 people there.
So you guys aren't in on the Hardy big match coming up?
Hardy. We saw the Hardy feud in 2009. We don't need to see it again.
Oof.
You know? Don't need to see
it. It's even worse.
Yeah, don't even bother. I do like EC3 and I do like... I do like Mike Bennett. I think you're going to see some of these guys in WWE soon enough. I think you will. I don't know about EC3, though. Everybody says he is, but he didn't like it here the first time. I don't know if he'll want to come back the second time. You know, WWE right now is notorious for bringing in all these guys, and then they just sit around. So maybe they'll want to go to Japan or whatever once TNA, you know, finally at some point, you know, shuts their doors. My assumption, what do you think, D'Amato? Samoa Joe retains?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Balor's heading up. I like American Alpha to retain. I think all three titles will stay, and I think Nakamura beats Austin here.
Why do you think Samoa Joe's not being moved up, or is it his doing?
I think he likes being in NXT. I think he likes being a champion. I also think that I think the NXT schedule, you know, this guy's older. There's another guy that's in his mid-30s who had a long career already in wrestling. It's not exactly a guy who's 22 years old who's yearning to be on the WWE roster. He may just be happy in NXT.
I think it's just a matter of timing. They're waiting for the right time.
I mean,
like, this might be Baylor's time, and in a couple of months,
You don't want to bring everybody up all at once. I agree.
Exactly.
No, that's what happened before, and now the women's division in WWE in NXT is a little thin, and you know, they might as well hold on to it and continue to put guys over. I think eventually Nakamura will be the NXT champion. There's another guy. He's what, 37? They brought in these guys because they knew the fans would dig them. They're indie darlings, but they're also, you know, they've been in the business for, you know, 13 years already. So, you know, they're not exactly spring chickens. So you might as well. He may like the sitting down in Tampa and the nice weather and wrestle, you know, a couple times a month. You know, I'm sure he likes that. Then, of course, the next big pay-per-view, and we'll do a preview of this because our next main event will be the Wednesday before this show. So we won't go really into it tonight. We'll do a full preview of it on the next episode. Money in the Bank, which will be on Sunday, June 19th, from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. So new building now. No longer the Thomas and Mack Center. They're in the new building, the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. And right now, only two matches set. Roman Reigns will defend the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against former champion and Dr. G's favorite guy, Seth Rollins, who has returned from his injury. And then the Money in the Bank ladder match. Five of the six are set. Sami Zayn, Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Chris Jericho, Alberto Del Rio, and one more. There's actually going to be, what, seven guys in this Money in the Bank ladder match.
When do you think Cesaro is going to actually get his big day? I mean, I know John Cena loves him.
Cesaro's a guy. I don't think he needs to win this match. In my opinion, to win. I don't know. What do you think, D'Amato? I don't think Cesaro needs to win this to get a title shot.
Do you think something's missing from his character, or do you think? Like, I don't understand. Like, he always just gets right there, and then
the injury,
like Christian. Like, when Christian was here, you know, years ago, you know, like, he's ready for that big superstardom, but something's holding him back. Something's the management.
I don't know. What do you think, D'Amato?
Well, he just came back from the injury, so it's all about timing. And his time might be is coming soon, but right now the Miz has a pretty good reign. So we'll see how long, because he's in the Money in the Bank for the world title shot, and so far we don't know where they're going with the Miz's IC title. So maybe the Miz retains against something else, and down the line Cesaro eventually gets the IC title from the Miz.
Yeah, I mean, Cesaro's been in the business a long time, so he's, let me see how old he is. Cesaro is, I mean, he's 35. There's another guy who's not a spring chicken. How old is Sami Zayn? He's 31. Ambrose.
Oh, well, what do you he's want 30. These guys to be? 30. I think the mid-30s is okay. It's when you get into your 40s, this business gets a little tougher.
Owens is 32. Is Jericho over 40? He's 45. Wow.
Yeah.
Del Rio's what? He's got to be like 33, right? 39. Holy cow. So, but again, we won't get totally into Money in the Bank tonight because the card hasn't been filled out, and we'll have our next episode will be a full Money in the Bank preview because
excuse me, Scott, not to you, but they announced AJ Cena also at the SmackDown tapings.
Well, this is Wikipedia, not Schmockopedia. So according to the match, is not here yet, and right. What I say goes.
Okay.
But now they will. Okay. Look at this. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, AJ.
AJ Cena is not going to happen. Okay. Then.
Of course, everyone knows John Cena came back Monday, and him and AJ Styles had a little detente in the ring, but then down came Machine Gun and Gallows. Styles jumped him, and the club is official. They don't have a name. They're not really the Bullet Club. They're just the club, which I think is stupid. I think it's just called the Bullet Club. I'm tired of political correctness. Ruins everything. So we'll see how that shakes out. But yeah, so three matches set for Money in the Bank. And we'll talk more about Money in the Bank in 2 weeks when we have our full-blown preview. Let's take a break here on the main event. When we come back, now that the doctor is with us, I want a special topic I want to talk about. And really, you two guys, except for maybe a couple select few, maybe Willie could have been on here as well. But I want to talk about wrestling on television in our fandom. Because, of course, the big news the last couple weeks is that SmackDown will now be live on Tuesday nights on USA. And they are once again splitting the rosters, which means once again a storyline of a belt going together is now being untogethered and split up again, which means we're going to have to get a new belt and renaming of stuff. And the big gold belt comes back and blah, blah, blah. So,
yay,
more belts. So with that, why don't we take a break? Scott Criscola, the Doctor, D'Amato. We got the Doctor and the Doctor of Love. When we come back, television, wrestling, it's history. More main event after this.
All right.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and placetobenation.com. You can check out Scott Criscola and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Main Event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. And relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series, led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We got sports covered too with the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast and the TJ McClune Show. PTBN tackles pop culture and irreverence with Richard and the Mailman, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, and if you like a hybrid of all of this in list form, check out Jordan Duncan's Rank and File. All of these shows are available on PlayStationNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tourneaments and more. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the Reaction Shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Team's Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation. of the newest episode of the Main Event, Scott Criscolo, J. Arsenio Diamato, and the Doctor, Dr. T. Giordavolino. PlacementNation.com, as I mentioned, 3 years old today. Happy anniversary, PlacementNation.com. It's the only place to be in your pop culture world. You realize we still haven't changed the masthead. It still has Madison Square Garden on it, which I always think is pretty cool because we are the mecca of pop culture. So it kind of makes sense. Russell Sellers today. X-Men Apocalypse swings for the fences, mostly connects. He talks about the newest X-Men movie. The newest episode of the newest edition of PTBN's excellent WWE Network Adventure. For those new to the show and you haven't heard about this yet, a panel of us here at PlacementNation.com, myself, my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, Jason Greenhouse, Chad Campbell, and Dan McGinn are watching everything on the WWE Network in chronological order. And the newest piece today, the August 6th, 1984 episode of Mr. D'Amato's favorite talk show, Tuesday Night Titans.
Yes.
I don't think your hero Rusty Brooks was on here, Doctor. That's your new guy, huh? You should get a Rusty Brooks t-shirt. What do you think?
What a physique.
I don't know where the doctor went. Did he vanish? Did the dog eat him? Did Buddy Sal eat you? Where'd you go? Oh, he'll be back. Anyway.
I'm back.
Oh, there you are. We were talking about the newest WWE Network Adventure piece on the site today. The August 6th, 1984 episode of Tuesday Night Titans. I said that's your favorite show because your new favorite wrestler of all time is Rusty Brooks.
Oh yeah, Rusty Brooks, baby! Come on, he could have been a challenger to Hogan in those days. Come on.
Well, he had one match against Hogan, but yeah.
I am coming up.
He talked better than he wrestled. Let's put it that way, and that ain't saying too much.
I don't know if he's on this next episode, but I am coming up this week, D'Amato. In fact, I think I'm watching it tomorrow. I believe the episode is May 2nd, 1985. I believe that it was the official enhancement talent episode because I looked at the description and it says it's the spoiler, Steve Lombardi,
Duke Doherty,
and I believe Dr. G, a friend of ours, Mr. Mario Mancini, I think.
Mario Mancini.
As well, so. So check it out, the newest edition of PTBN's excellent WWE Network Adventure. We wrote up the episode of TNT from August 6th, 1984. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday walk around the web. Newest episode of the NBA Team Podcast. Preview of the 2016 NBA Finals, which start later this week between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. So check that out. Our Vintage Vault Refresh. Saturday night's main event from November 14th, 1992, the final Saturday night's main event of the original era, and we have it up for you today. So we did our Vintage Vault Refresh. Newest episode of Titans of Wrestling, they go back to the Philadelphia Spectrum, September 18th, 1982. And how about this, guys? A main event anywhere around the world. Salvatore Bellomo and Swede Hansen. The Sweeter, baby.
Main event.
Oh, nothing better.
You like the Sweeter, Doctor. Come on. The Sweeter, baby. Swede Hansen. We love the Sweeter. And Salvatore Bellomo, the pizza man. And, of course, Mr. Baelish has your Raw rundown from the beginning of the week. Now, a couple extra things we want to talk about. We here at Place to Be Nation give back. You've been wonderful to us reading our articles, listening to our podcasts. But we are giving back. We're trying to give back. So, Doctor, you and I, in our we are co-hosting, if you will, or co-sponsoring a charity golf classic here in the lower southwestern Connecticut area. We have a lot of great charities we sponsor, and not all Catholic. So, if you're getting weird about that, and it's okay if you are. A lot of people sometimes are funny about religion, but. A lot of the charities we sponsor are not religious at all. For those, obviously, Fisher House, which takes care of veterans when they return to battle and are convalescing after, you know, from injury on the battlefield. Homes for the Brave, which is a charity. It is a national charity, right, Doctor? I should know that.
Yeah, it's a house here in Bridgeport for veterans that are trying to get back on their feet. Maybe some have had some unfortunate drug issues or whatever, but it's not a handout. It's a hand up, and they get them back into the regular world,
yes. Yep.
Give them a place to stay, but also give them vocational training, teach them how to go on interviews. You know, sometimes it's very hard to get back into regular life, into civilian life again. And they do a wonderful, wonderful job, and they've helped hundreds and hundreds of veterans over the last, like, 10 to 15 years.
Yes. So we help there, St. Jude's Children's Hospital, the VA Hospital here in Connecticut, another great charity called Al's Angels, which helps children in need, children that are sick. So if you can help sponsor, if you can kick in whatever you got, if you have $5, $1, $10, $20, whatever you have, we'll take. And we'll post a picture on placemenation.com the day after the tournament with our T sponsor sign. So my email is on the article on the page, placemenation.com. It's my PayPal. Send it right to me. It'll go right into our account. And it's going to be it's for a good cause. So we thank you in advance for your generosity. We like to give back here. And we've done charity stuff in the past. My PIC, Mr. Azzaro, does the daffodils for the American Cancer Society and such. So we like to give a little bit back for what we do. So check it out. The title of the article on the site is Place to Be Nation Gives Back, Sword and Shield Golf Classic 2016. So it'll be up until next Thursday, June 9th. So you've got till next Thursday, and anything is appreciated. So thank you for that ahead of, in advance. Also, we have a new podcast feed debuting soon. It is going to be a new feed called PTBN Pop. It's a new podcast feed. It's where we're going to put all of our Place to Be Nation podcasts that are non-wrestling and non-sports, such as the Russell Sellers Great Comic Podcast, the Hard Traveling Fanboys, any music podcasts we have, movie-related, TV-related, anything pop culture that's not sports or wrestling. We'll go into this feed, the PTBM Pop feed, ptbmpop.podbean.com. You can go to it now, but it'll be live on iTunes tomorrow or today, depending when you're listening. It'll actually be today because that's the show will be posted on Thursday. So today, the feed will be up, ptbmpop.podbean.com. And that's where all of our podcasts, comics, music, TV, movies, anything other than wrestling or sports will go there. And then, of course, our regular podcast feed has this show, Kevin Kelly, Place to Be Podcast, Sports Evolution, etc. So check it out, the PTBN Pop feed, and that'll be up tomorrow on iTunes or today, Thursday, which is when you're listening to this. Also, yikes, Amazon.com. Click through the website, and we get a little taste back to help run the site. Your prices don't go up or anything. No, you know. Nothing like that, but a little piece of what you do spend comes back to us and helps us run, you know, the maintenance and all the unfun stuff. And, of course, check out our new free ebook. Two more are in the works. The one that's up right now, of course, JR and I, the Place Me Nation Vintage Vault Refresh Volume 1, the Federation Era. So it's all the pay-per-views from WrestleMania 1 through Survivor Series 1992. And we also have a couple of more that'll be debuting soon as well. So check it out. PlaceMeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Okay, I don't think I forgot anything. That was a long break. All right, guys. Another main reason why I chose you two gentlemen specifically for this episode of Main Event. Again,
couldn't get anyone else.
But well, that's, okay. That's usually what it is. But you've been whining about being on the show anyway, and then the dog eats your homework, so you normally have to vanish. Where's Buddy Sal? What is he hanging off? Would you have him? Would you throw him up? What is he playing in traffic right now?
Now you're gonna have animal rights activists.
No, Buddy Sal is the official mascot of Place to Be Nation. He's a beagle. He's a cute dog, but he's a colossal pain in the ass. But no, there is no animals, no live animals were harmed in the making of this movie. So
yes.
So there you go. No, we goof around. Buddy Sal's pain in the ass, but he's a good dog. All right. No, besides that, we're three of the older guys on this in Place to Be Nation. We were alive proper, not just like, you know, drooling or shitting in a diaper, but we were actually watching wrestling in the 80s. And with the big news this past week that SmackDown is now live on Tuesdays, which is kind of revolutionary, and of course the roster split, but that doesn't mean anything to it, the TV. Let's look at the evolution of television in terms of wrestling, at least starting in the 80s. Now, you know, in the 70s and stuff, you had local affiliates and that kind of thing, but everyone says that Vince was the first one to nationally blow up television. That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. He may have won the war of territories and such, but he was not the first, or he wasn't the only one in the 80s to do that. Not at all. And I want to talk a little bit about that with you guys, because we both watched, all three of us watched wrestling in the 80s. Now, D'Amato, you and I were a little closer, obviously, geographically. I, of course, grew up here in Connecticut. You grew up out on the island. Doctor, you were here. I mean, you moved to Florida when you were very young, before you watched wrestling. So, what was the first wrestling shows you remember as a kid? D'Amato, I'll start with you. What was the first thing? I'll tell you, the first thing I ever watched was an episode of Championship Wrestling on Channel 9, WWOR. You know, you guys know that channel. It was a Saturday morning, and it was, I would say, around June of 1983. And the first guy I ever saw cut a promo, the first wrestler I ever saw on a screen, was the then Intercontinental Champion, the Magnificent Morocco, Will's favorite wrestler. And this was right at the beginning of that awesome feud, maybe feud of the year in 1983 with Superfly Jimmy Snuka, which culminated, of course, guys, with the epic match October 17th, 1983 at Madison Square Garden, and Snuka jumping off the cage, which at that point hooked me. And 33 years later, still watching. D'Amato, what were the first shows you remember watching as a kid?
It would probably be 77-ish, and it was the same thing, WR, except it was at midnight, so you had to stay up midnight on Saturday nights. That was it, one shot a week. And
wow.
It was probably Bruno Sammartino. Yeah, and you had to sit through, I remember it was the longest, from 11:30 to 12, was the longest half hour of my life, plus trying to stand up, I had to sit through harness racing.
Oh, right.
Those
guys on doing aqueduct in the metal lane.
Yeah, from Aqua, right.
Right.
They were on at midnight for a long time, though, because I can remember it in the 80s also being on at midnight.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when they made the switch to the mornings, but yeah, for me, it was definitely midnight. And it was probably Bruno Sammartino's was all over the show. That was, you know, my main memories. But and also, you'd be lucky when we got the cable. If you catch it on MSG, the Garden House Show monthly. That, other than that, it was either Saturday night, and you'd be lucky to catch a Garden House Show.
Yeah, I would catch the Garden House Shows Monday nights because I had MSG, or it was on Channel 9. Sometimes Channel 9 would broadcast it because they had a deal with MSG. Because
I remember
because the Knicks used to be on Channel 9. And so I used to see the Knicks, and plus it was also great Big East college basketball. So if I didn't have MSG Network, which I don't remember actually getting until the late 80s, but I might be wrong. The early shows I watched, that Championship Wrestling, which was always the show they taped in Allentown, Pennsylvania, but that morphed into Superstars, which was on every Saturday morning at 11 on Channel 20 here in Connecticut, WTXX Channel 20. Sundays was All-American Wrestling on USA. In fact, that was the first televised Hogan match, free Hogan match that I ever saw. It was on All-American Wrestling. He fought Bob Orton. Not County Saturday Night's Main Event. I mean like the jobber show, you know, the Cindy shows, not like Saturday Night's Main Event or pay-per-views. Then, of course, Monday nights was primetime, which was the highlight of my week, was primetime on Monday nights.
Yep.
And then Tuesday Night Titans, I kind of remember, because they used to be Tuesdays, and then it was moved to Fridays, and then they got rid of the Tuesday Night Titans part, and then Vince just called it TNT. And
yeah, I remember that definitely when I was a kid.
Yeah. It was 2 hours in 1984. I don't remember it being that long. It cut down to an hour when the calendar turned to 1985. And I know that now from watching the show, watching the episodes on the network. Non-WWF, obviously, you know, Saturday nights, 6:05 on TBS, I had to get my weekly horseman fix. And, of course, my world heavyweight champion, the world heavyweight champion, the great Nature Boy Ric Flair. And, of course, your boy, Doctor, the Mega Dream, baby, yeah, no polka dots. You know what's funny? On a side note, Doctor, I didn't know a lot about, like, auto racing or whatever when I was a kid. I didn't watch, like, NASCAR or any of that kind of stuff. It wasn't on TV a lot in the 80s, in the early 80s when I was a kid. Maybe CBS had, like, Daytona and then maybe a couple races here and there. But the first race car driver I ever liked as a kid, I had a conversation with my brother about this a few weeks ago. The first race car driver I ever liked was Harry Gant, the Bandit, because remember he had the old Skull Bandit car? Because yes. Dusty used to wear the Skull Bandit hat. And I'm like, who was that? And my brother told me, that's Skull Bandit, Harry Gant. And then I used to like the car, the white Skull, you know, the white and green Skull Bandit car. So I'll give you your boy Dusty got me to like NASCAR racing. But anyway, that's a side story. Other than that, all I had here in Connecticut, besides those, was the whatever ESPN would do. First they did World Class in the early 80s, 84, 85, and then they went to obviously AWA with you know, the drunk Larry Nelson there. And by the way, I still contend that on the AWA DVD when Bischoff said the announcer got pulled over for DUI and they never saw him again, I still say it was Larry Nelson. I don't know. There were no other announcers. Had to have been him. Watch him. Of course, Larry Nelson's dead, so I'm probably trampling on his grave, but I'm not trying to. But now, Doctor, you were very lucky. Much luckier than Mr. D'Amato and I were, because living in Florida, you had a cavalcade, a cornucopia of programming. You had what, at least seven different promotions where you lived?
Well, you know, all the ones you just mentioned, we had that because obviously I cable. But we had, obviously, I had Florida Championship Wrestling.
Now, was that on a local affiliate? Was that like on the NBC affiliate or what was that on?
It was on one of the,
like the local station, like their version, yeah. PIX 11 kind of thing.
Yeah. Like a local, like independent station. I, you know, cause of living in so many different places, I can't remember like, what the actual channel was off the top of my head anymore. But, yep, we used to watch that, and that used to be, I think it was like, one time it was at 11 o'clock on Saturdays, then it'd be noon on Saturdays. You know, my dad and I watched it together. We had Jerry Lawler's promotion down there. I guess what was it? The
Lawler?
CWA or
yeah,
whatever they call
Continental,
it.
Right? Was Lawler? Yeah.
And then we had like some Gulf Coast wrestling for a little while. That was like Alabama, you know, the Panhandle of Florida.
Right.
And that's that we didn't have too much more than you guys did, because I mean, I had every, you know, we had the stuff that was on ESPN, you know, and we were talking today earlier off the air that, you know, on USA was, Joe Blanchard, Tully Blanchard's father's wrestling promotion,
San Antonio,
Southwest Championship Wrestling. And, they were paying USA, I think in the early 80s, $7,000 a week, to be on there. And they actually created a world heavyweight belt, which Adrian Adonis won.
Hmm.
And because, it, you know, they were going to be national. So he was, and it was like an old-fashioned world heavyweight belt that I think Luthez wore, you know, back,
oh,
way, back when.
It's been like those little tiny ones that look like a glorified belt buckle, probably.
Yeah, they presented that to him and then a new belt. And then what happened was, is then when Vince came in with, was it All American Wrestling, I guess?
Yeah.
When he came in with that, they couldn't afford it, and USA decided to go, obviously, because Vince could pay more money, went with them. And the Southwest Championship Wrestling had great ratings. I mean, it was the highest rated show, one of the highest rated shows on the network at the time, but they couldn't afford it. And then they sold to like Texas All-Star Wrestling and then went under. But that I kind of remember. I remember that because I remember the Bush, not with WWF fans knows as the Bushwhackers, but the
Sheepherders, baby,
were down in that federation or that.
Stayed.
promotion. But other than that, I mean, I remember, I forget, it was must have been one of the local stations, Joe Pedicino and Bonnie Black.
Oh, Bonnie Black, yeah.
They did
this
a
week in wrestling, yeah.
Yeah, This Week in Wrestling, and that wasn't on many places, but they would go to all the different promotions, and you'd get like look-ins, almost kind of like a look-in thing, and you go, let's go to this match here, and they go to all the different promotions around, really around the world. It was kind of cool. I enjoyed.
Oh, that was great. Unfortunately, yeah, we had on PAX here for, but it only lasted like a month or two, and then that was it.
He's 66
now. That was
now.
Great.
Yeah. He was a New Yorker. He was born in, what says he was born in? He lives in Atlanta now. But yeah, he was, says he was well known as an honorary personality of regional territories, being announced at Conor Crockett, hosts a nationally syndicated Superstars of Wrestling with his wife Bonnie Blackstone and Gordon Solie from 1986 to 1992.
So, oh, it was on that long?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I remember we got it for a little while, kind of like you guys did. Now, just so you know, guys know, we used to get WOR down in Florida. Our cable systems carried that.
Really?
So I don't. I forget if WOR was considered a superstation at that time, kind of like WGN, but it was down. We had it down in Florida, so we always got our little taste in New York. That's how we used to watch the Howard Stern show when he had the Howard Stern show.
Oh, that show's awesome.
Morton Downey and all those, all that stuff. We, you know, we had everything. You know, it was the same channel you guys had. You know,
you remember that show? Do you remember the Stern TV show, D'Amato?
Of course.
The show was great.
What are you kidding me?
That's where Snapple was born. Really. I mean, who the hell knew what Snapple was before 1991, 1992?
It was. He used to drink it out of the belly buttons of girls and all that stuff.
Poor Richard Simmons, man. They used to abuse Richard Simmons.
Oh my God.
Well, that's when he used to get the women on who used to shove the fucking kielbasa down there. Sausage schlongs and...
My dad and I would watch that show all the time together. Isn't that a nice father and son thing to watch?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Richard Simmons would have a couple of, let's shall we say, weight-challenged individuals that he was working with, and they would dangle, like, chickens over their head, like, barbecue chickens.
Oh, my God. I remember it was the, it was Snapple and Brother P-Touch.
Yes, 1-800 mattress.
1-800 mattress.
For savings, yep.
Oh, God.
He had the fucking They did the Gilligan's Island skit with Bob Denver. He kept calling him Gagigan, and they would eat boogers, and it was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. Greatest
classic
programming of all time.
I love that show.
I remember a show. We're going off the wrestling path, but that's all right. Dr. G, I don't know if you remember the show because you probably already moved. But do you remember a show, D'Amato, Uncle Floyd?
Oh yes, of course.
Uncle Floyd G, do you remember Uncle Floyd?
I don't.
He was like it was like a warped kid show.
Yes, warped.
And he was based in Jersey, and he used to have kids used to do pictures on the wall, and they'd have this kooky puppet, this little bald puppet that would pop up at the end, and he was a little warped. It was like warped humor.
My favorite was when he used to play with the Play-Doh, and he would like sniff it and get high off, because Play-Doh smells so good.
Yeah, and of course.
Classic.
Oh my god!
I actually want to. I would love to just see some of those Stern shows on.
I got them on tape, Doctor G. D'Amato, I may have to come up. We have to do a viewing.
Oh my god!
Yeah, VCR. I got them on VCR too.
I got them too.
Didn't he have homeless Hollywood squares or something?
Yeah, he used to have a. Oh my God! He used to have he'd have like actual actors on, who was the one the guy Larry Linville from MASH? They used to do like MASH skits, and there'd be like whores on it. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Strippers.
Oh my God!
And the Stuttering John interviews.
Oh my God! When he asked Ted Williams if he used to fart in the catcher's
face. Yeah, did you ever fart in the catcher's
face?
Oh my God! I remember that.
And
he goes, pardon? Yeah, he made him repeat. He was signing books, and he stopped. And he goes, pardon? He goes, did you ever fart? And he goes, who the hell are you to ask me a question? Get the hell out of here.
And then he had, oh, my God. They used to make fun of, what's his name? Gary Delabate when he used to do the MTV auditions, and they used to call him horse face. Oh, God. Love Howard. Anyway, we went off. We kind of strayed off there a little bit.
Going back, We had Florida wrestling. Like I said, we had that weekly show. We had the, Jerry Lawler's promotion for a little while, Gulf Coast wrestling. But other than that, I didn't really get too much different from you guys. Because,
you got any Mid-South?
You know what?
The only reason I ask is because, you know, he did book a lot in Louisiana, so I thought that was kind of...
We didn't really get too much. We didn't get too much of the Mid-South, no. Hmm. I don't remember watching that. You know what happens when you have those independent stations, and because the way now you learn as you got older how, you know, they used to have to pay for time or, right. You know, tapes used to have to be mailed or, you know, sent to different places. You know, it was really so disjointed that, yeah, you would see a show on for a couple of months and all of a sudden then it's gone.
Yep.
For me at the time, it was great because I loved championship wrestling from Florida. And then you didn't understand, you know, like I didn't understand how it all worked. And all of a sudden you see some of the same guys that were on championship wrestling from Florida on Georgia championship wrestling, you know, like you're like, okay, how the hell did they do this? You know,
right.
They were wrestling, and then they had like different feuds going on, you know, depending on who the wrestler was. You know, and then Gordon Soley, you were like, oh my God, I just saw him on this show. Now he's on, you know, like, It was just, you know, when you don't understand the whole business when you're younger.
Right. Yeah.
It was a little confusing, but I loved it. I mean, you know, wrestling, I have to be honest with you, and my dad was a big sports fan, but I think he and I bonded most over wrestling than we did some of the other sports.
I wasn't a fan. As everyone knows, I've extensively, I mean, all my brothers and my dad, we were all... We didn't have any teams that were the same. So my oldest brother, Jeff, didn't care about wrestling, but my brother, Chris loved heels. He was a bad guy fan. And my dad, my brother was like your dad, Jay.
My dad loved all the heels.
Yeah. He loved Piper and Greg the Hammer Valentine and the,
I loved all those guys,
you know, Adonis and Murdoch and
my dad loved Kevin Sullivan, all those guys.
My dad was as milquetoasty. He was like Vince, milquetoasty as it came. He loved Hogan. He loved Ricky Steamboat, British Bulldogs. He loved all the milk toasty guys. And then as the 80s evolved, primetime became pretty hot, and Superstars was like the show. I mean, if you're just talking WWF, it seemed like Superstars was the show. That's where all the big storyline stuff happened. That's where guys got jumped and all that kind of stuff, and that's where the reports from the event center kind of thing. And when Raw, and I'm noticing this now, when Raw started in 93, that Vince really, I don't think, grasped that Raw was a more important show than his syndicated shows. Because as I'm watching these Raws now for the new, you know, for our new Vintage Raw refreshes coming up, like, The Undertaker... From when it launched in January, I'm on the... I just watched today, I watched the first one in July, the Raw after the Intrepid when Luger slammed Yoko. Taker was probably on Raw maybe twice. This Taker was probably like your, you know, third or fourth biggest guy at the time after maybe Shawn and Bret and he was on like twice. But the whole feud, you know, the whole storyline with him stealing the, you know, the Mr. Hughes and Harvey Whippleman and all that was all on on Superstars, not Raw. Raw was treated like a glorified primetime with squashes and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like, I don't know what you guys think, I feel like Vince really didn't know what he had when he had Raw. Like, Raw was not like super, like primetime. You know what I mean, D'Amato?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, it's like, it didn't seem like it was the...
He was still trying to feel his way out.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah. And he had, I mean, like the night after WrestleMania 9 was taped. I mean, that's just dreadful. He figured that out because the Raw the night after King of the Ring was live. So he was able
to. Well, you know, I think he didn't know what he had. You understand live television's expensive too. So.
Right. No, it's
after doing a pay-per-view and then having another live show, you know. You're right. He didn't know what he had at the time, and remember, he didn't have the. That was right after, you know, all the stuff with the steroid trial and everything.
Yep.
So money was tight. The company wasn't doing as well, so you know things were a little tighter then compared to, you know, when things started getting better in the late '90s, where,
you try to do different things. And, you know, live television and, you know, the reason why they're doing SmackDown live, I think there's many different reasons, but I think one of the main reasons is because live television is what networks and things are looking for now, because that's why even like locally, you know, baseball teams are getting big contracts now and everything, because it's live programming and people are going to want to watch it the first run around rather than recording it.
DVR proof, right.
And, you know, that's good for advertising. Now, no saying that, you know, people still won't record SmackDown, but if you have intriguing storylines, they're going to want to watch it the first run, but not have to hear about it on the internet. And now everything, you know, you get things so quickly. So they're going to have a better, they're thinking it's going to be better for ratings because people are going to want to watch it the first time around. But the thing is they got to make it, you got to make it a destination you want to go to, and got to make stuff interesting. I mean, if you remember back in the Attitude Era, I mean, you had to wait that whole week till the next Raw. What the heck was Stone Cold going to do this week? You know, with Vince McMahon, this, you know, during that era, you couldn't wait, you know. And then when they added SmackDown as a show, I thought that's when things started getting tough, because now you had to book more hours of programming, and it kind of watered it down a little bit for a while. And then obviously, you know, things go in ebbs and flows in terms of the business. But I think that with this SmackDown show, if they book it right, it could be a place where people are going to want to go to. And it's got, I think it'll do higher ratings than it was when it was a tape show, because people already knew the results
right
before the show aired.
Right.
But I think that this, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that's what I think that's what WWE is looking for, is to try to get that, get those ratings up. And by putting it live, people are going to want to see it rather than, okay, I saw the results on the internet, I don't feel like watching it, or I'll just record it and watch the match I want to see, and that's it.
Right. And you get another show of surprises, and, you know, you get people to watch, and that's a big deal. And obviously a lot of these syndicated shows back in the day, like World Class couldn't do that, or
yeah, but, you know, when we were younger, I mean, you know, what I'm saying, this is not even that many years ago, but the internet wasn't prevalent. We didn't have, like, everything at our fingertips. So the syndicated shows, a lot of times you didn't even know, like, a belt changed or anything like that. I mean, think about, like, how many things we didn't know. Like, we could get, like, in 2 seconds now that, you know, then, you know, a belt could have changed hand, and we didn't know until we watched it on syndicated television. Nobody
right.
knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so it's
tough. I mean, it's very tough to have anything be a surprise today, because people are, you know, somehow something will leak out. Some picture will be taken, some, you know, and all of a sudden it's on Instagram and, you know, Facebook and Twitter. So it's very hard. It's very hard. The element of surprise is very tough today. Don't you guys agree? Like, it's very hard to surprise about anything today.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to do it, like, on the fly. I don't think anybody expected AJ to turn heel on Monday. And then there's
Shane's return. Shane's return.
Yeah, Shane, that came out of nowhere.
That was kept secret, yeah.
Yeah, they've done a decent, I have to say, Dr. G, for the most part, I think they've done a decent job lately of hiding things. But, yeah, for a while, it was, you know, this guy was backstage and that
right.
kind of stuff.
Yeah, because so. Yeah, there's always little snitches backstage, but...
What was Willie the Worker, right? Wasn't that Rob Van Dam? Or was he Willie the Wino? No, that was somebody else. But yeah, it's amazing how you know wrestling television has evolved in the last, you know, even 25 years. I mean, I lived and died by superstars. You know, now superstars seem so. You know, antique compared to, you know, what we have now.
Well, I mean, look at the, you know,
the local territories. I mean, it was all squash matches, and maybe you had that one main event at the end of the match. But, you know, a lot of it was done in a TV studio. It wasn't even in front of big crowds. The WWE were the ones that really kind of took their program sometimes outside that whole small TV studio,
right.
And they would actually film the syndicated shows from an arena. Like you said, you'd been to some in New Haven where, you know, you watched as the weeks went by, somebody had a belt and you didn't even, you know what I'm saying? Like you didn't even know. But think about it then. There was no way to really, except for word of mouth, to get out, oh, yeah, I saw, I'm just making up something. Hulk Hogan with the World Heavyweight Belt. And, you know, in the beginning of the show, when we were watching it, he didn't have the belt at the time. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, but that would have been, that would be all over the internet now. Then you could do that.
Right. Well, the two examples that I remember of like weird editing and stuff, the night of the main event, the night of the Hogan-Andre rematch in February of 88, I'll never forget. When Mean Gene had the backstage interview with Hogan, he had his old belt, the belt he had throughout 1987. Then when he walked out of the ring to the ring for the match, he had the Winged Eagle, which was brand new. The first time you saw it was, I think, that might have been the first night you saw it. It was either that or it was the Royal Rumble when they did the contract signing. But I'm pretty sure it was that night. But literally 10 seconds earlier, when you saw the backstage interview with Mean Gene, which means it was obviously taped somewhere at another time, he had his old belt. Then the other instance is, of course, Texas Tornado came out with the Intercontinental title in November 90 at Survivor Series, even though Mr. Perfect had already beaten him and won the belt back. The title change was not airing until the following Saturday. So Tornado had to come out with the Intercontinental belt, even though he technically wasn't the Intercontinental champion anymore. So you get weird stuff like that. But yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to. Now you couldn't hide that stuff anymore. You know. But that's also the benefit of having the WWE Network, because now you can air stuff in the middle of the day. Of course, you know, they're going to do a big English house show, a UK house show in, I think it's September, which I had said all along. If you go all the way back to the Place Be podcast episode that JR and I did 2 years ago when the network first launched, I said that's the key thing. It's nice to have all this archive stuff and all the old shows and everything, but they got to use this for stuff like, you know, these crazy house shows in different places, and they've done that so far. We had last 4th of July, we had the show in Tokyo. Then that last October, we had the show at the Garden right before Hell in a Cell. And then we had Roadblock in February. So that was the key for the network. Let me ask you this. D'Amato, I'll ask you first. Do you think now with the network, Vince can never go back? And if he was offered an actual like cable network, like a broadcast air network, do you think he could do that now? Or once he launched this, that ship has passed?
Yeah, I don't think so. Because there's no way that the volume of the content would be matched on a regular network. So
man,
you'd be given less of a product, unless somebody offered a bananas amount of dollars. But I think now it's profitable enough for them.
Yeah, I mean, unless they took all the live stuff, unless they got rid of the stream on the network and just had like the NWA on demand kind of thing where it's just an archive and they got rid of the stream and actually did a broadcast network. What do you think, Jay?
I don't think they could do a broadcast. First of all, I think it'd be a money loser for them. Again, what do they got? Over a million subscribers out of the whole world, right?
Right. A little bit more than that. 1.2, I think.
Okay. So you figure that the niche of a network, small network, how many people are going to be watching a WWE network that's airing all day long, and putting a network, you know, running a broadcast network it costs a lot of money. I mean, you're in that business still, and I came from that side of the business. I think the way they're doing it was the smartest thing they could have ever done, and I think it'll be more profitable for them. It's cheaper for them to run, and for us fans, we get more bang for a buck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With it,
and they control the content and everything. They don't have to worry about, you know, dealing with other censors and
that's a good point.
Exactly. Type bosses. Yeah. Even though their product is a lot watered down than it was, they pretty much censored themselves. So. But
that's true.
It's, still, they control their product.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the way they're doing it is fine. No, I mean, it's great for us with the whole pay-per-view thing now. I mean, how much money you can save from all that. I mean, the wrestlers probably don't like it, but...
Right.
But, you know, it's... you know, and they're hooking on with MLB Advanced Media, which, you know, does a really good job. Yes. You know, is there kinks at times? Yes. I mean, you know, the technology is not a perfected technology yet. You know, there's just it's constantly evolving. So
the only time I've ever had I used to have if I'd watch it at work or I had it on in the background at work, there used to be a lot of stuttering issues and a stalling and the thing, you know, pausing and not pausing back and forth. Definitely not as bad as it used to be. It's gotten a lot better now. The only time the stream is ever a problem is WrestleMania. And you guys were here with me, and you know, we were here with D'Amato and Armento, we were watching it, and we had the 1 hour, like the 5 to 6 was like the shit hour. Then 6 to 7 they had live on USA, and that was really where it was bad. But notice the minute we hit 7 o'clock when the show started, we had no problems. So it's funny how they got it to work right at that moment.
Get all the kinks out.
Yeah. Seems like that every year. Now last year, the first WrestleMania, this was the third WrestleMania. I don't remember watching. Well, we were at Boneheads for WrestleMania 30. We didn't watch it on the stream, although I remember the guy, Matt, having issues. I think he had it through an Xbox or something. But the last 2 years, I've watched WrestleMania here. But they've definitely kind of ironed out the kinks of the stuttering and stuff like that. So, so now you've got 3 weekly shows. You've got Raw live Monday nights on USA, 3 hours, too long. And then you got live 2 hours of SmackDown on Tuesday. So that the beginning of the week is going to be very heavy. And then Wednesday nights, you're going to have the 1 hour of NXT on the network. And then the back end of the week is going to be quiet. Obviously, they get a couple days off during the week, and then they got the weekend house show loop. Any way they can make house shows better? I mean, can the network enhance? We've talked about the show they had in Tokyo last 4th of July, the show at the Garden back in October right before Hell in a Cell. And then the one, obviously, Roadblock was house show.
The house shows, it depends on, you know, obviously who you're advertising to be on the card. And I have to be honest with you, a surprise of a belt changing every once in a while would be probably a good thing to do. Will they do that today? Probably not, but...
The last time...
But even, honestly, they really run... I mean, do you guys agree with this? They kind of control their own history. They make up their own stuff to begin with. So even if you had, in Indianapolis, AJ Styles win the championship, and then the next night or 2 nights later, wherever they're at in Louisiana or whatever, and have that person win it back, nobody even needs to know. You don't even have to announce it on television. You don't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could just do it just to give a little pop to the crowd.
Right.
Now, I don't know. You can't do it all the time. You'd have to do it occasionally here and there, because otherwise then you start watering down the belts. But, you know, I think they could do something to where they could kind of surprise the crowd a little bit, because you're going to go watch a World Heavyweight title match, in the Bridgeport Arena for a house show. We know that the person who's challenging for the belt is not going to win it. We know that going in.
Right.
So... Are you going to be like, I'd rather just watch the shows on television. No need for me to go live.
Trying to think the last time it happened. I do remember Christian beat Booker T at a house show in 2003 for the IC belt, because Booker was legit hurt. Then I remember, I want to say the SmackDown tag belts when they were split in like 07 swapped. Like London and Kendrick lost to somebody, and then London and Kendrick won it back. I want to say that was 2007. I might be wrong.
But know, I mean, I'm not. I don't know if that's totally the thing. I mean, I haven't been at a house show in a while, so I don't.
I can't remember the last house show I was. Damon, do you remember the last house show you were at?
I usually go to one garden one a year.
What's the one this year? It's coming up in July, right? Is it July house?
Yeah.
Now is it sold out when you go, or is it?
Yeah, pretty much. There's scattered empties. There's still pretty much because they only have like 3 or 4 a year. So I think I went to the holiday one in December. I think it was.
Yes, that's right. There's always they always do the one around Christmas time.
Now, what do you think? What do you think, D'Amato? What do you think is the reason?
Do you think there's not much they could do with it? I don't think there's much they could do to make it better because then you'd be giving away too much, and they have to save their best stuff for Raw and for the pay per views. That's where the money is. The house show kind of sells itself. It's more for like kids. The kids want to see the live experience. So. I really don't see much that they could do to make them better.
Yeah.
Now, at the live shows, because I haven't been to one in recent years, is the production of it, I mean, obviously it's going to be a step below than what it would be on television, but do they do a pretty good job of
excellent
production?
I mean, the music, everything, you don't really notice much difference. Just with the crowd, it's a lot more child-friendly. It's a lot more kids.
Right.
And the crowds are, a little tamer and more well behaved. It's more of a family thing, but they don't skimp as far as productions goes.
Well, it's funny because sometimes the hardcore fans are just like, oh, this kiddie friendly. But the thing is that for what we love to last into other generations, we have to have those kids wanting to watch this stuff so the company could stay around. You need to breed the next generation of fans. Now, we may not totally like, a lot of fans don't like John Cena because he's the babyface and all that. But the guy puts asses in the seats. He sells merchandise like unbelievable, and the kids love him, and that's the next generation.
That's what I was gonna say. I mean, the merch at the table is still mobbed.
I know. In the last few years of it's funny, D'Amato. The last few years of the pay per views we've gone to. The merch tables are a fucking zoo. I mean, they're bonkers. Yeah. But a great discussion, guys. Because this is a new era of television, and the network is now a little over 2 years old. It's ironed out the kinks, and I think the one thing that we hoped they did, and I don't know if they'll do it now, is they should do like a studio show, like a Sports Center. I think they try to do that with the Raw pre-shows and stuff, but I don't think it's the same thing. This week they do a show called This Week in Wrestling, but it's a clip show. It's like TWIB, or Inside Yankee Bay or whatever, Yankees Magazine or one of those kind of shows. That's like it's a package show.
Right.
So, all right, guys, this has been fun talking old school wrestling television. I'd like to thank J. Arsenio D'Amato. When will I see you again? I'll see you in like a month.
Yeah,
right? Or I'll see you in a few weeks in Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah, June-ish.
In June-ish. I'll see you up at our Ocean State Chalet. the doctor, I'll see you in about, 15 hours? So
the pleasure's all yours.
Yeah, of course. Georgie Land. Did you want a shirt with a roller coaster like Larry Zbysko? They should have remade those. They should have made those.
Scott, for your birthday, I got a nice surprise for you. I got a nice young lady named Sammy coming over deliver you a present.
Well, yeah, we should say a big happy birthday to you.
Yes, Mono did that earlier while you were and Buddy Sal were haggling over the last over the last grilled cheese sandwich or whatever it was. But thank you, and again I thank everyone on Facebook and via text for your birthday wishes. Much appreciated. And of course, happy anniversary to Place to Be Nation. Turned 3 years old today. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. We'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm trying to get a couple of really cool guests on the round table.
We already did that.
We're not really cool. I know. Yeah, we're not cool.
Oh, what the hell? Are we, man.
What are you guys going to be like, Tez Watley, you going to turn on me and cut my rat tail?
Hey, I want to get some cool guys on. We had a couple jamokes today.
Well, Joe Pedicino. Wow. You guys are my Joe Pedicino and Bonnie Blackstone.
Freaking love here, D'Amato. What's going on?
I know. That's all right.
Cool. Well, let me rephrase it then. I'm trying to get some debuting guests.
I've never been cool in my life. That's okay. I'm not going to start now.
You are absolutely wrong. You've got the greatest sneaker collection I've ever seen. For J. Arsenio D'Amato and the doctor, George Oblino, I'm Scott Criscolo. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll preview Money in the Bank. Until then, stay in the main event because A.J. Petruzzi and Gino Colabello never were. Have a good 2 weeks.
Money in the Spank Bank.
No sleep till
Rusty Brooks.